You're listening to the John DePietro Show. So it's a snowy day, if you can. Good day to stay off the roads. We already know the roads have been a problem to begin with. I can't imagine getting on the roads is going to get any better. If you get a chance, if you'd like to hear or read, I should say, read about the Davies Vocational Tech, the 15-year-old student, teacher there. I interviewed the student's mother last night. We have the video up on the website, DePietro.com. This is a continuing. The state police are investigating. The state police don't believe there's criminal. The behavior by the teacher, based on the evidence so far, could change, but you could see for yourself, wildly inappropriate. And I want to take issue with some of the comments from, I understand other teachers want to support their colleague and the teachers' union, they feel they want to support their colleague. But this notion that, hey, you know, love is love. And, you know, that you're talking about a 39-year-old teacher, and the allegations are that there was inappropriate conduct towards a 15-year-old student. And if the text messages are authentic, if the voicemails are authentic, again, I want to reiterate, these are just allegations. Everyone deserves their day in court. But if they prove to be authentic, I take issue with this notion of love is love. It is irrelevant that, you know, a same-sex relationship situation. It's inappropriate if it all pans out. The conduct is, the teacher is the one in the position of authority. The teacher has the student in the class. Texting, voicemail, supposedly even taking the student places, giving the students gifts, but the what's inside of the text, certainly, and the voicemail, again, if everything washes out, certainly seems to be very controlling, manipulative behavior. So for the teachers' union to try to, or at least one member of it, to try to dismiss this as love is love, it shouldn't be the situation. The student is there to learn, from what we understand, and again, according to the mother who I interviewed, happens to be a good basketball player, just wants to focus on her schoolwork and basketball. You have a mother that's, you know, wants to see the full potential of her daughter, see how far she can go. That is not a matter of, and shouldn't be dismissed the way some people are trying to dismiss this as love is love. Love is love would be two consenting adults, or even if it was two teenagers that may be in some form of a relationship. But no, she's 15 and the teacher is 39. So this business of some people saying, well, you know, that's their private business, love is love. It's no, excuse me. It's not their private. She's the teacher. She's the supposedly Western Civ teacher at the school. It's totally inappropriate. And the voicemail, if it all is in fact authentic, of, you know, this is just between us and don't tell anyone what we talk about, and you need to be loyal to me and all this other stuff. No, people are confusing. This is not a matter of, oh, well, you know, if it's a same-sex relationship, it's no one's business. There should be no relationship, regardless of that. If you have a teacher at a school who happens to be, in this case, 39, it doesn't matter whether they're 39 or 29 or 24, whatever. It's the teacher and the pupil. Wrong. Absolutely not. This cavalier attitude that people try to dismiss. And as far as, well, it's no one's business, no, it is people's business. There are other people that have children at the school. Ridiculous. So the teacher's out on paid leave. You can read about it on the website, DePietro.com and hear the interview with the mother of the student. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. All your oil needs, make it Henry Oil. Call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Reliable, affordable fuel oil delivery. Call Henry Oil today. Fuel oil, diesel, gasoline delivery. It's Henry Oil, residential, commercial, fuel oil delivery since 1947. They also have budget plans, service contracts, lock and cap pricing. You can depend on Henry Oil. Call them today, 401-521-0200. Serving most of Rhode Island and southeastern Mass. We got a long way to go with winter. Make sure that tank is filled. Call Henry Oil today. 401-521-0200. Henry Oil, a local family-run business since 1947 that you can depend on. For all your oil needs, call Henry Oil today. 401-521-0200. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. I want to go back. House Senate oversight hearing, DOT in front of them. Someone I thought was very good is Representative Solomon from Warwick. Listen to this exchange yesterday, or Monday, I should say, with the State House.
Rep Solomon?
Here we go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is it a requirement that the load rating be posted on the bridges?
Not if there's no posting for definitive bridges. I think there's a standard amount. If there are no limits on weight limitations, then I don't know that they're actually posted. I'll check and we'll report back to you. But I believe any of the bridges that do not have a weight limitation are not posted. But I'll check and I'll get back to you on that.
Okay, so prior to December 2023, when was the last time the load rating had been posted for the Washington Bridge?
I don't believe we've ever had to post a load limitation on the Washington Bridge.
Okay. Was it ever recommended that a load limitation be posted on the bridge?
I've asked my engineers that. They're not aware of any recommendations that came to them for posting the bridge to less than what its capacity is.
Okay, I'm going to ask the same question to Jeff. Jeff, are you aware of any load posting requirements?
I'm not familiar with it, no.
Okay, how about for this particular bridge? Have you heard of it being requested that a load be posted for this bridge?
Formally, no.
How about informally?
I know we submitted an RFI. It may have been tied to what the representative was describing, asked for clarification on the load rating criteria. That RFI was still pending.
Okay, so what type of clarification was necessary?
We had done our sub-consultant VN had done an analysis, and it was still preliminary in nature, but they were getting different results.
Okay, had they questioned potentially the calculations, previous calculations of loads?
I can't speak to the details of it.
Why can't you speak to the details of it?
It was their analysis.
Okay. But you did read the analysis, correct?
It's been a while.
But you had read it?
I don't think I've read their analysis, no. I mean, I was part of the correspondence.
Okay. Just for clarification purposes, because I know there's been a lot in the media about NDAs being signed. Were any NDAs signed in regard to this particular project?
We've never signed, nobody at DOT has ever signed an NDA.
Okay, how about any contractors?
Not to my knowledge. NDAs are not required by anyone at DOT or our contractors. What we do require are confidentiality forms to be signed. And the reason for that is it's not a policy of DOT, it's a policy of Department of Administration and the procurement of projects. You don't want, during the analysis of a competitive bid or a competition for a design-build contract. We don't want employees who are reviewing those and assessing those handing out information to competitors to give them unfair advantages. So people participating in that procurement process, a procurement process only, are required to sign confidentiality, not non-disclosure, confidentiality, which basically says, don't tell the competitors what their competition is doing or pricing the project at, because that is a conflict of interest. Also, in the conflict of interest is the employee stating that they have no financial or other kind of personal ties to any of the contractors that they're doing the assessment of, which would give an unfair advantage if they favored one over the other, right? So the employees who are only the employees participating in the procurement process and part of the decision-making and scoring of the companies are asked to sign a confidentiality agreement that keeps intact the integrity and honesty of the procurement process. Outside of that, in terms of any of the work that we do or any of the discussions that we have or any of the correspondence that we do, there is no NDA or confidential agreement signed by anyone at DOT or contractors.
Okay, so getting back, so there was never any concern as to the tension tie capacity being significantly overestimated?
The tension tie rod?
Correct.
No, this is the first instance of this.
Okay, just wanted to make sure that's a testimony being told today. And my just final question here today is, you know, I just want to talk about the elephant in the room. I know there's a lot of...
By the way, if you have any correspondence in that nature, it would be helpful if you provided it to us so that
Absolutely.
We can make it part of our forensic and provide it to the forensic analysis team.
Absolutely.
So that they can help determine what some of the problems are here.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to.
Great.
But just kind of going back to the elephant in the room, because I know a lot of the testimony here today has been talked about and about the bridge with 20% match, et cetera, et cetera. And I think the people of the state of Rhode Island want to know, one way or another, definitively, is the bridge coming down? So
yeah,
I'm going to ask that question.
I want to know that, too. I want to know that as much or more than anyone in the state does. And the information that we'll be getting in the next several weeks from these seven companies that we have defining the scope will actually provide us the information decisively that say, this is the scope of the work that needs to be done to create the new bridge that will carry people safely for a long time. And that will, the information we'll be getting will determine that. We'll give you the answer to that.
Thank you.
Now, I thought that was Representative Solomon. I thought it was very solid. There were certainly some people that stood out more than others. It's I find it a little tedious to listen to. A lot of times they didn't have information. There were some things learned, but by and large, bottom line, I thought, you know, it was better than I thought. It was an opportunity for various individuals to, and certainly be a little aggressive with the questioning. And I did like the fact that some recognized the opportunity, nothing wrong with that, in order to get some of the spotlight and show their constituents how aggressive they can be. I found it interesting that the East Bay seemed to be more timid than I would have thought, because they're impacted the most. Folks, you're listening to the John DePietro Show. AEP Services, they take great pride installing fences of all kinds, vinyl, wood, aluminum, chain link, experience, quality, integrity. Call AEP Services today for a quality fence, home or business, 401-228-7190, 401-228-7190. Residential fence, commercial fence, steel, wood guard, rail, they have it all. Beautiful aluminum product, decorative, Landscape, it adds a lot to it for your stunning property. Call the experts today, AEP Services, 401-228-7190. Residential or commercial, why not enjoy your backyard, a little privacy, or maybe keep a pet or young children inside? Remember, they also have fences. They're resilient, water-resistant. Call today, 401-228-7190. Free quote. AEP Services, the fence experts, 401-228-7190. Folks, you're listening to the John DePietro Show weekdays. We start at 11. We go until 2. It's 2 p.m. It's AM 1380, 99.9 FM. You can always listen online at our website, which is DePietro.com. It's time for our segment, Politics This Week. Joining us, he is the managing editor for AnchorRising.com. It is Justin Katz. And Justin, I'd actually like to start off with the soccer stadium. It's, I think because of what's going on with the bridge, it's not getting as much attention as normally, you know, that it should. But just curious to hear your thoughts regarding the financing that we've learned of just how much the state has now had to put out in order to make this a reality.
Well, this is the problem, and it's a problem that is especially bad with using government to finance these things. Once the politicians are in, once everybody's lined up, there's no end to it because they've got to keep it going. There's no such thing as a sunk cost in politics. There's no point where the ruling regime, unless it's replaced, can say, okay, that was a bad idea. We lost $50 million and we're just going to eat it and move on. And so you get this where it's constantly having to adjust. They're invested in this. The governor in particular, McKee, having jumped on the Commerce Board to pass the decisive vote to do this whole project is definitely invested. And so as the interest rates go up, as other costs go up, they're backstopped. They're backstopped by the taxpayer. And that's just the way it's going to be. And it's important to keep in mind too, and this might be a little bit of an abstract point, or a little bit of an abstruse point for some people, but these bonds that go out, we learned during 38 Studios and that whole fiasco, a lot of people learned that they're really a scam, because basically they're revenue bonds, or they're not necessarily backed by the full faith and credit of the people of Rhode Island, but there's no way the government's not going to pay them. So they're certain debt, but they have higher interest rates because there's supposedly some risk, and they're not generally just available to the Joe investor on the street or you or me wants to go pick up a Tidewater bond or whatever. They're institutional investors. And so it's a big scam that a lot of people make a lot of money on, investing in the bonds, then building the stadium through the unions. All of that stuff piles up to take tax dollars. And there's no incentive for anybody to just go, you know what, this is getting out of hand. And I think it's interesting that you raise the bridge. Well, if our infrastructure is so terrible, how is the bridge going to affect the ability of Tidewater to perform? What about other bridges that are nearby, other infrastructure that might be collapsing, that instead we're spending four times the principal, apparently, on interest? It's a dangerous situation, and without enough verification. I mean, McKee in recent articles about this has said, oh, it's going to greatly improve the economy around there. Will it? Do you have any evidence of that? Maybe. I mean, it's kind of an assumption you'd expect to make, but it'd be good to see some evidence before you're investing millions and millions of dollars in these deals. And it's kind of shocking for anybody who's ever been involved in any kind of even moderately sized corporate asset purchase or anything like that, or any kind of corporate decision that takes a lot of millions of dollars. A lot goes into it. It's not just, yeah, I think this will be good for the company. Let's spend $50 million. Oh, I mean, $100 million. Oh, I mean, $138 million. That doesn't happen when people have their own money invested. And for all these reasons, I think Rhode Islanders really need to start waking up to this scam, because it really is a scam. And I think the progressives in particular, sorry to rant here, but the progressives in particular have to start paying attention. You know, they'll talk about a corporate CEO who's not paying another dollar an hour for employees, but here you've got a whole insider system led by our government and the labor unions ripping people off and taking our money. It really ought to get a lot more attention than it does.
Folks, again, we're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor, AnchorRising.com. Justin, one of the things also, let's talk about, I mean, this is a completely different scenario than the one that was laid out for everyone. And I just don't understand why more people don't object. And I mean elected officials saying, you know, if this
if this had been what they had presented back at the, you know, when they first came into inception, then it probably wouldn't have passed. This is a completely different proposal. This is also one of the dangers, I think, of they talk about that once they start a project like this, they come up with whatever the term is, but basically rewrite orders where the balloon, the costs just balloon because it just keeps getting added onto. This was not the package that was presented. I think the only reason that it's even being built now is because Governor McKee, to get elected, promised organized labor that he'd let them build a $150 million soccer stadium. Because other than that, there's no market for it. This absolutely makes no sense at all.
Well, I think that's exactly right, and that's endemic in government. It's not only, you know, these projects. It's a lot of law, a lot of policy that gets implemented is exactly like that. Oh, we're going to do this, and they'll say whatever to get it over the finish line, and they'll just expect that people aren't going to notice as the deal changes, and you know the classic line of Darth Vader and what is it, Empire Strikes Back, but. Lando Curcio said, this deal with Darth Vader keeps getting worse. It's always like that in government. And I think that's exactly right. But there's nobody to pay attention because there's nobody who has that investment in or that the interest to do that. There's nobody who stands to lose millions of dollars because this goes through. And that's a real problem. And in that regard, it starts to come back to the problem of having no opposition party in the state because there's nobody to take advantage. Everybody is bought off. As I said, the investors, the labor unions, the progressives, the insider politicians, they're all in on the game. And so there's nobody who benefits by making a controversy of it. Really, there's no effective, say, Republican opposition to make this. If there were a line and this controversy could get a Republican gubernatorial candidate over the finish line, they'd be making a lot bigger deal of it, and people would know about it. But that's not the case, and it really goes. Everything seems to go right back to this core problem that our civic society in Rhode Island is just busted, and it's going to be very expensive, and it's going to be hurting people for years and decades to come and mounting.
Justin, let's talk about the bridge. The latest is it just continues to be a head scratcher. They're going to have some House oversight hearings. I heard the governor's not thrilled about it, but the latest now is they rolled out this, it's an app, or if you go on the DOT state website, they tell you how long it'll take to get from wherever you're going. You put in, you know, where you're starting with and where you go. And I do like the fact that some, I think it was Channel 10 or other, maybe others, but at least Channel 10 sent their reporters. They were using the app, and sure enough, it was way off from what the actual time was. The reporters would say, you know, the app said it would take 20 minutes. It took 46 minutes. What are your thoughts on McKee continuing, trying to almost like undo the narrative of how long it actually takes to get from point A to point B?
Yeah, it's just bizarre, that aspect. And it, I mean, it the only explanation I can come up with is that he just doesn't want to admit what a disaster it is, which the first step to solving a problem is admitting that it's a problem. And he's right. Not willing to do that, which is horrible. I like to think it was actually John Marion of Common Cause tweeted out, because one of the news stations had said it took an average of 3 miles an hour from the state line to the bridge, and he pointed out that that's the average walking speed of a human being. I mean, that's how bad we've gotten. And I think some of it's with this recent change of the traffic patterns we discussed last week that some resident came up with or something like that. But with the app, it seems to me like a giant waste of resources. Why would anybody expect it to be accurate? Why? And why do we need it? You've got Google, you've got Apple. There are map programs out there that tell you how long it's going to take if you're trying to plan a trip. And I'm sure they're much more accurate than this app. So it's just another gimmick rather than trying to just say, you know what, put all that aside. This is horrible, folks. We're on it. We're doing whatever we can. And as I keep saying, I'm going to beat this drum till it's done, till the project's done and we can move on with everything, you know, in 20 years. If they were serious, they'd be talking about the things that make it so slow to fix things in Rhode Island. At least for this project, they'd be suspending all the ridiculous labor rules. They'd be going to the labor unions and saying, this is a giant problem. You need to come to the table right now so we can get this fixed right away. We're not going to federal government to to ask for money or only to ask for money. We're going for them to jump in and say, what can we make easier on you? Because this is a major thoroughfare for the entire Northeast, or it is at the moment. I don't know. Once this continues on and on, maybe we'll be just bypassed and there'll be new roadways and new ways people get to the Northeast from the West and South. But that's what ought to be done. Not apps. Apps is like a student solution to a problem in a classroom. It's dumb. It's not going to get anything done. Nobody should trust the government app telling you how bad the government is doing. And it's redundant data that we already have out there through private companies.
Folks, quick break. Much more ahead. Politics This Week. Justin Katz, managing editor, anchorrising.com, right here on the John DePietro Show.
Propane Plus. Call them today. Heating and cooling in Rhode Island, 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359 for Propane Plus. Three generations you can always depend on Propane Plus for all your heating and cooling. Call them today, 401-885-4209. Three generations, they're available 24/7. A service and delivery, and they're going to serve you for a very long time. They have a great user-friendly website. You just log on at propaneplus.com, and then you type in your zip code, residential, commercial, Propane Plus, heating and cooling, always there for you. Give them a call today. In Rhode Island, 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359. The Johnson family, three generations. Heating and cooling, you can always depend on Propane Plus.
Our segment is Politics This Week. With us is Justin Katz, managing editor, anchorrising.com. Justin, I want to stay on the bridge just for a moment because I thought last week was a good example where on Thursday, now this was dry weather, no rain, no snow, and the traffic. It really is something to see that it was taking 86 minutes. And I applaud the TV stations for mapping this out for people and doing it in real time. But it took 86 minutes to get from the state line of Massachusetts to the 95, you know, you either go 95 south or then you continue 95 north. That split off point, 86 minutes. That normally should be a 5-minute ride. And I saw a lot of talk online. Oh, maybe it's because of it's Thursday, or maybe it's because of, like, that's how the lunacy of this has become, where they're just not, to me, accepting that this is a major problem that's going to continue, and let alone, you know, we're on the cusp of what's going to be a major winter storm coming down the pike.
Well, certainly, but it's exactly what I meant when I said that infrastructure in Rhode Island kills more people than guns, or it is now, because that's what happens. And it's not going to be, I think the problem may even start to get lighter, but because people are finding other ways to go about their lives, they're finding other ways to drive around. They're not going into Providence. They're working from home. They get another job because I can't take the commute anymore. That's, people will start to adjust. And that's deadly for any East Providence. It's deadly for Providence. It's deadly for all the communities in the East Bay. I mean, you hear of realtors who, when, you know, big higher paid people come in, they bring them to East Greenwich and Barrington. Well, take Barrington off the list, because if it's going to take you 90 minutes to cross a bridge from Barrington to Providence, it's just not worth it. Right. The property values are going to plummet there in that regard. And so it's a giant problem. And it's astonishing that, as you say, nobody's, oh, well, maybe it's because it's Thursday. What? No, this is no. It's because the bridge is out. That's why. That's the only reason. And all of that other talk, the only explanation other than people just don't know how to process how horrible it is here. Maybe we've just gotten so used to it being bad in Rhode Island that we can't even process real problems. But the explanation, I think, is that nobody actually wants to solve the real problems, because they all go back to the core corruption and the core rot in Rhode Island. And everybody in Rhode Island, the reason it's survived so long is everybody is getting a piece of it. And everybody has their own investment, whether it's the investment or the unions or the politicians or the media who have the inside scoop because they play nice. All of that stuff, everybody has some investment in this. And so we're not going to get it fixed.
Now, Justin Katz, there was also something last week, and it was Kathy Gregg that reported it happening out at the State House. The gun control drive begins with 2838s and is co-sponsoring safe storage requirement. But union backing is the CR. And what I saw is I didn't see any follow-up of, and there the picture is Pat Crowley. Now, to me, the angle that almost needs to be explored is he's not doing that because he believes in the issue. He's not doing that out of whatever, his own goodwill. To me, this reeks of he has cut some deal that, and there's a quid pro quo. We want this. And if you'll grant us whatever this is behind the curtain, we'll get you your gun control. I think, you know, this is a dangerous development that it's like they're venturing off into other causes where they see groups that fall short. Hey, if you cut a deal and give us what we want, then, you know, we'll push this and we'll hammer the people that are not on board and we'll, you know, really go after them. What is your thoughts on, I was surprised there wasn't more follow-up as to, you know, what exactly is this going to cost that he's agreeing to do this?
Well, you know, I wonder, it's an interesting idea whether he's trading for actual union business. I'm not actually sure that's the case. I mean, it's been pretty obvious to me for...
I meant union bills.
Yeah, well, yeah, business. But I mean, that's but right. I, but as if okay. he, as if his primary, Carly's primary concern is his members and his labor union, and he's just trading favors for that. I'm not sure that's the case because if you look back at bills back 15 years, even social issues, say like same-sex marriage, the unions were funding the activists on that. They were funding, they were there live on all of those, anything that's left-wing. And in fact, in, I think it was 2012, there was a progressive conference in Rhode Island. I think it was called Netroots Nation, if I'm remembering correctly. And Pat Crowley and George Nee did a panel, and they talked about the everything union model, where we're going to put all these far left causes in a union model, and we're going to treat ourselves as a giant activist labor union. So that all led me to conclude that really the labor unions, they provide member services. That's how they get their money and their political influence by being associated with labor. But the real reason they're doing it, that's just to collect money and influence. The real reason they're doing it is to push these far left causes. And what strikes me is I wonder how many construction workers, how many blue collar workers are out there thinking or even aware of, hey, why is my labor union trying to infringe on my Second Amendment rights? I mean, it used to be the idea that a lot of these organized labor folks were salt of the earth, blue collar people. I mean, Pat Crowley's not just a teacher union person anymore. He's representing all those folks who, many of them are actually pretty politically conservative. I hear from them every now and then when I tweet something about labor unions and they attack me, but then I'll look at their profiles and they support all kinds of conservative causes. I wonder how many of them just don't really realize that they are funding this left wing organizing. So I think to me that picture of Pat Crowley in the red sweater vest and all that supporting gun control, that is just more another bit of evidence that they're letting the freak flag fly now. They're just out there. They run the state. They don't care. They're flipping the switch on communism a la labor union in Rhode Island. That's the message I start to get.
Justin, there's a bill that would force all employers of over 500 people in Rhode Island immediately give their employees a 10% increase in pay to work a standard 40-hour work week. What is so outrageous about this is there are already designed rules you have to follow and so forth. This really cuts into that suddenly they want to control all the businesses. It's not the role of the State House to get involved and make these types of demands on the local, you know, employers.
Well, these kinds of bills, you know, when in the last decade, there were a few years in a row where I read every bill that was submitted, and it is a very depressing activity because the things that these legislators put in, they really ought to disqualify them. And it really started to make me think about, who are you? You know, who are you, Mr. Progressive Legislator or Mr. whatever you do for your job? None of them are qualified to be making giant, you know, international CEO level decisions about how businesses should run. And yet they presume to, because they think they have no idea how money is made, how productivity works. They have no idea. So they pass these bills. These things are devastating. And I, you know, I, I've been saying for years, I don't think it's one thing you could kind of say, well, a lot of these bills get killed. They're just for show for their constituents. They're never going to go anywhere. I think they have an effect. You know, honestly, if I'm looking at where to start a business, where to do anything with business, and I start to see these bills come and popping up in a General Assembly, you never know. You spend $100 million, $200 million, whatever, setting up a shop in Rhode Island, getting everything organized, and you're ready to go and start. And then all of a sudden, not only, as we've discussed before, do you have the labor unions knocking on your door like, hey, this is a nice business you got here. Shame if something were to happen to it. Not only do you get that, but the legislature at any point could say, yeah, next year we're just going to increase your labor cost by 20%. At any time, they could do that. And I think that's why we're seeing the economic collapse of the state and things falling apart as they are. And it's only going to get worse. But people really need to start asking themselves when they see these bills, who is this person who's submitting this bill? What is their expertise that they think this will work just fine? Where is that money going to come from? How can you just promise everybody, okay, we're gonna cut your work week by 8 hours or a full day of work just because we can give it to you? And frankly, this is what people have warned about democracy, de Tocqueville, from the beginning of the United States, was once people realize they can vote themselves more, they'll start doing it. And I think that's what we see in these kind of ridiculous progressive laws or bills.
Folks, quick break, much more ahead. Politics This Week, Justin Katz, managing editor, anchorrising.com, right here on the John DePietro Show.
Do you need a good plumber? I found the best plumber, JMB Plumbing. Call them today. All your plumbing needs, 401-743-9153. JMB Plumbing. They've been providing plumbing services for years. Skilled professionals stand behind their work, guarantee you will be happy. Maybe it's repairing damaged water pipes, repair clogged pipelines, maybe replace a water heater, as well as all your plumbing needs. Call them now. It's JMB Plumbing, 401-743-9153. Nothing throws off your life or your home or your business. When you need plumbing service, you need someone reliable, someone who's professional, someone who'll handle the job and do it right. It's JMB Plumbing. Call them today, 401-743-9153, JMB Plumbing, and look for them on Facebook. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Let's go to recap on the hearings at the State House Oversight Committee regarding what happened with the bridge failure of 195. This is Channel 12, part of their recap.
But Rideout Director Peter Alvitti apologized for how this closure has upended everyone's lives and vowed to get answers.
I accept responsibility for this.
Over the span of 4 hours Monday, House and Senate lawmakers grilled state officials during an oversight committee hearing on the Washington Bridge.
Rhode Islanders deserve answers.
DOT Director Peter Alvitti, the governor's senior deputy chief of staff, and an engineer contracted by RIDOT went over the bridge's design, when the critical failure was observed, and the process underway to determine how and when they can fix it. But many questions went unanswered.
Is the bridge coming down? So yeah, I'm going to ask that question.
I want to know that too.
Alvitti often deferred to the forensic analysis happening as we speak, an in-depth look at the bridge that he says will provide more clarity on the situation, including when pins in the bridge broke.
That's not a sudden break. That's an old break.
While he wasn't at the hearing, Governor Dan McKee also faced scrutiny over his previous comments on traffic.
People that have to drive on this bridge every day, how are they supposed to feel secure when we've got the leader of the state saying, oh, it's only 10 or 15 minutes, and everybody knows that's false?
Alvitti doubled down on previous statements that closing the bridge was the best decision to keep people safe, and got choked up when asked about safety.
When I wake up every day and I go to sleep every night, that's all that's on my mind.
Now, of course, there was much more discussed during that.
There was. I thought some of the voices, especially Representative John Breehan, I thought he framed it very well. House Minority Leader Mike Chippendale I thought he did a very good job. I want to play you some of the sound of it. You know, it's tough because, in essence, they don't have the engineers. They apparently dumped a load of documents on them as they were, you know, I think on Friday is when they dumped the documents on them. And so they didn't get a full chance. You know, if you're some of the legislators, they didn't get a full chance to review a lot of the documents without a lot of notice of when this was going to happen. So as far as the hearing, but I think Representative Breann, I thought he was very effective in pointing out just how ludicrous it was, Governor McKee telling people, and, you know, it's just about 10 to 15 minutes. That didn't serve any purpose. And then one of the governor's key advisors tried to run cover. But I want to play. This is Representative John Breann, who I thought he was very good. Here's what it sounded like.
As a travel on 195, everyone feels and has seen it. God forbid that there's a flat or a fender bender. Everyone knows what that causes for backup. And I'm talking about when both sides are operational at full capacity. You know the kind of traffic that can be generated. Director, you said at the outset of your comments, you said, we are going to be honest with you. And I think that that's a very important thing that we all expect as legislators, as taxpayers, as citizens. But I guess the question I have for Mr. Allman is, I look back and I see a post by Kim Kalunian on X, and it says, and this is posted on January 25th, and it says, Governor Dan McKee said yesterday that the Washington Bridge issues are only adding 10 to 15 minutes of extra commute time for drivers. He was pressed on that, and what are you experiencing behind the wheel? So I guess my question to you, Mr. Almond, is when we know that's demonstrably false, we see what's happening on the highways. I guess one question is, how is that at all helpful to the people in this room who have to communicate with their constituents? Because my constituents, and I think a lot of our constituents, don't have the will or the time or the ability to look at a pile of documents that's dumped. And I do agree with Vice Chair Casimiro. The fact that this is dumped to us on a Friday afternoon for a Monday hearing, it's, you know, that's just a whole separate issue, but I don't think that that's particularly helpful. But how are we as legislators and leaders in the state supposed to communicate with our constituents if this is the stuff that is coming from the top? And if honesty is supposed to be the best policy here, how are our constituents, how are the citizens of Rhode Island, the people that have to drive on this bridge every day, how are they supposed to feel secure about and confident in the information that they're being given is accurate and real when we've got the leader of the state saying, oh, it's only 10 or 15 minutes, and everybody knows that's false? What are we supposed to say to our constituents? What is the governor saying to the people of Rhode Island? And how can they feel like what they're getting, as the director said, is the truth? Because that's not it, Mr. Allman, and you know that. And the governor knows that. So why double down on it?
Excellent question. I wish I could say he was then given an excellent answer, but he wasn't. And Governor McKee basically sent staff members out there to field these questions, kind of get, you know, muddied up a little bit. But he doesn't care. And I want to go back to Rep. Breann after their rambling response. Before we closed
it. Thank you. I think I would just merely comment that obviously we're in this hearing. We get these documents. An old boss once said to me, you know, you're bringing me the problems. Bring me the solutions. And I think that's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get the solutions. But we're not going to get the solutions unless we acknowledge that right now we have Carmageddon out there every single rush hour in the morning and at night, and we're trying to push the ocean through a garden hose. And we need to just be honest about that and figure out how that's going to get fixed and fast, because we're going to run out of answers to tell people other than you're just going to have to wait. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, that's not what they want to hear.
Well, that was the line of the day, Carmageddon. Folks, again, I think the reps, I want to credit them. I think they did their job. They did as much as they could. But the problem is there's no easy answers with this. Notice also Governor McKee was nowhere to be found. He could have strolled in. He said, oh, I'll take some questions here. Nope. Not Coach McKee. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. AJ, drywall, plaster, home improvement, call them today for a free quote. You can also find them on Facebook, 401-323-9252. 323-9252. AJ, drywall, plasters, home improvement, frame to finish basements. What a difference it'll make in your basement. Acoustic ceilings. Look how beautiful your ceiling could be. New homes, additions. Also, commercial rehabs, painting, remodeling. Contact them today. It's a family-run business. AJ Drywall Plaster Home Improvements. Call for a free quote. What a difference they'll make in your home, your ceilings, floors, basements. 401-323-9252. What a difference. Beautiful walls and ceilings. 401-323-9252. You can also find them on Facebook. It's AJ Drywall Plaster and Home Improvements for your home or business. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. DHS Secretary Mayorkas on Meet the Press says he has no regrets about terminating the Trump-era Remain in Mexico policy. Let's listen in.
Instituting the Remain in Mexico policy, that is something that you terminated. Do you regret terminating it, given that migration has increased in the wake of that? And are you considering reinstating it, working with Mexico to do that?
A few things about Remain in Mexico. First of all, it depends upon Mexico's agreement. And Mexico has articulated publicly that it will not allow the reimplementation of Remain in Mexico, number one. Number two, it's been challenged in the courts. And number three, remember something, that Remain in Mexico was implemented in January of 2019. In 2019, there was almost a 100% increase in the number of encounters at our southwest border over 2018.
This guy is a total zero, and he can try to say that it's not going to affect, but the border, except here in Rhode Island, is a major problem. Who else was on Meet the Press? Former Governor Chris Christie says he will not be voting for President Trump. I was surprised to hear this.
Let me ask you, in 2016, you told wary Republicans that if they weren't working to elect Donald Trump, they were working to elect Hillary Clinton. Let me put that back to you now. If you aren't working to elect President Biden, are you working to elect President Trump, former President Trump?
No, I don't think so, because I think what we have in this race is two really, really bad choices.
But how's it different? Those are the choices.
It is different. It is different because this time we don't know if we're going to have a third choice or not. And so I'm not going to make any commitment. The one commitment I will make to you this morning is I'm not voting for Donald Trump under any circumstances. Now, who I might vote for, I'll wait to see the complete field before I make my judgment.
Do you rule out voting for President Biden?
I can't see myself voting for President Biden.
But you
either.
Don't rule it out?
No, I can't see myself voting for him because I don't agree with his policies, and I have serious questions about his competence to serve another 4 years. So do I rule it out? I can't imagine doing it. My guess is, Kristen, if those are the only two choices, I'll move to the Senate race in New Jersey, and that'll be my first vote.
Yeah. I don't know what to make. Christie, I'm not sure, maybe because he's never been on there before. But Mayorkas was a complete disaster. Let's go back to more of Mayorkas on Meet the Press about the border.
And let's talk about what's happened during those 3 years. More migrants have crossed the border illegally last year than ever before. The asylum cases backlog has more than tripled since 2019. You yourself have said that more than 85% of migrants caught crossing the border illegally are being released into the U.S. as they await their court dates. Let's just put impeachment aside for a minute. Why do you deserve to keep your job, Mr. Secretary?
He doesn't.
Kristen, the data that you cite is a powerful example of why we need legislation to fix what everyone agrees is a broken immigration system. And you take a snapshot of the data over the past 3 years. Let's take a look before the last 3 years. That case backlog, which is about 3 million cases, has been growing year over year over year. The time between it, when we encounter an individual at the border and the time of final adjudication of an asylum case has been years, 5 to 7 years, 4 years and years. I remember when I entered the Department of Homeland Security in 2009, we were wrestling with these very same issues. The system has not been fixed for 30 years. A bipartisan group of senators have now presented us with the tools and resources we need, bipartisan group, and yet Congress killed it before even reading it.
No doubt there is gridlock on Congress, but do you bear responsibility for what is happening at the border, what the president himself has called a crisis?
It certainly is a crisis, and well, we don't bear responsibility for a broken system, and we're doing a tremendous amount within that broken system. But fundamentally, Congress is the only one.
It's not true. It's the Biden policies that have really amp things up at the border. Listen, that guy never should have been in charge of the border. They're not trying to do anything. It's complete chaos, the amount of people that are coming into the country. And because of the governor of Texas shipping them to places like New York City and Chicago and even Massachusetts, that's why it's on front and center. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. Great meal, a great time is waiting for you at the Cohasset Inn, a Rhode Island tradition since 1977, 226 Cohasset Avenue, West Warwick. They have a large dining room, perfect, maybe a group, maybe a collation, lunch. The Cohasset Inn, getting a big group together or maybe just you alone or a date. 226 Cohasset Avenue, West Warwick, great staff, terrific food. They're always working on the menu. And they also have a nice lounge as well. You have the market at Cohasset right there. They're open 7 days a week. I'll see you for a great meal. Make it the Cohasset Inn. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. Folks, I always tout our website just because it has exclusive stories and video. It has links to On the Scene live stream. Remember, there's no vowel I. It's DePetro.com, DePetro.com. You can also reach me that way if you'd like to get in touch with me. DePetro.com. Log on, and then links to Facebook and YouTube. Everything we have, it's all waiting for you right there at the website.